Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Now, I know my little hiatus kind of lasted a little longer than I had originally planned and told you guys, but what can I say? It was the holidays, and I really didn't feel like putting out an episode for the podcast. I just wanted to fully enjoy the holidays. And speaking of which, I hope y'all survived this brutal fucking Christmas season. It was fucking cold everywhere, and I hope y'all survived, and it went well for you as well. So we're gonna just jump right into this episode. And I thought for this episode, I'd talk about one of the more popular modern slasher franchises, and that is the Wrong Turn series. So, without further ado, let's jump right into it with 2003's Wrong Turn.
Are you all right? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I just found this tied to a tree back there. Somebody did this.
Baby, seriously, this isn't funny.
The movie opens with college students Rich Stoker and Haley Smith rock climbing in remote forests of West Virginia. When Rich reaches the top of a cliff that they are climbing, he is suddenly murdered before he can help Haley up, and someone begins to yank Haley up the cliff, forcing her to cut the rope and fall to the ground. She then attempts to escape, but is caught in a line of barbed wire and is pulled back into the woods, screaming, and she is killed off-screen. Sometime later, medical student Chris Flynn drives through the mountains of West Virginia on his way to a business meeting. He stops at a gas station to ask directions, and an elderly owner named Maynard is of no help. Chris then finds a map and decides to go down Bear Mountain Road, where he collides with a stopped car whose tires have been punctured. The car belongs to a group of college students on a camping trip, which consists of Jesse, Carly, Scott, Evan, and Francine. They soon discover their tire puncture was no accident, and find barbed wire wrapped around it and realize someone did this intentionally. Evan and Francine stay to watch the cars while the others go to find help. Evan disappears after he hears something from the woods, and Francine finds his ear on the ground. As she backs away in horror, barbed wire is forced into her mouth by a mysterious figure, who then garrotes her with it. The remaining group find an isolated cabin and go inside to use a phone, horrified to find human body parts in the house. They are forced to hide inside when the occupants return home, which are three cannibalistic inbred mountain men named Three Finger, Sawtooth, and One Eye. And they enter the cabin with Francine's corpse, and the hiding group watches as her body is dismembered and eaten. After the cannibals fall asleep, the group attempts to escape, but their captors awaken and chase them into the forest. The group then finds cars left from previous victims and try to make up an escape plan. Chris then gets shot in the leg while trying to distract the cannibals, and the girls take him to a truck where Evan's body spills out. Scott then attempts another diversion for the other three to escape, but gets killed in the process with arrows instead. Jesse, Carly, and Chris then stumble upon an old watchtower with an old radio and try to call for help. The cannibals, however, arrive and are alerted when the radio starts responding to the group's call. Unable to get inside, the attackers then set the tower on fire, but the three escape by jumping out and into the trees, triggering a chase in which Carly is decapitated by Three Fingers. Chris then pulls a branch while Jesse lures the attackers for the former to release it, knocking him down. Jesse and Chris then flee and hide in a cave until morning. The cannibals find them, however, pushing Chris down the hill, then kidnap Jesse and take her back to their cabin. Chris survives the fall and meets a police officer, but the officer is killed by Sawtooth, who shoots him in the eye with an arrow. Chris then hitches a ride by holding onto the underside of the truck as Sawtooth drives it back to the cabin, where Jesse has been tied down to a bed in preparation to be eaten, and watches fearfully as the cannibals chop up the dead policeman. However, before they can move on to Jesse, Chris sets the building on fire and drives the truck through the wall. He then fights off the cannibals and frees Jesse, and they escape as Chris kills the cannibals by blowing up the cabin. The pair then drive out of the forest into the cannibals' pickup truck and stumble upon Maynard's gas station nearby. Chris then takes a map before he and Jesse leave. Then, in a mid-credit scene, a deputy sheriff who had received the radio call earlier investigates the remains of the destroyed cabin. And then, laughing insanely, Three Finger, who survived the explosion, rises and kills the deputy. End of film. Screen fades to black. In my opinion, this is one of the best movies in the entire franchise. Although it is one of those films which is so cliche, as you can kind of... it's as cliche as you can get, and the plot is pretty fucking predictable all the way through. But still, I did like this. It had more than just a classic kids gets lost in the woods and get killed. There was a little more spark to it. And I love the fact that the killers were deformed, mutated humans who were more closer to real monsters. Even though this isn't an original idea, it kind of steals things from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Hills Have Eyes, with the whole mutant family and shit like that. It's not completely original, but it has more of a modern twist on it. And the rumor is that this, the whole idea for this movie was taken from the true crime story from way back in the 1600s of Irishman Sawney Bean and his cannibalistic family, who would lure travelers into their caves, and then kill them and eat them. So that's where this first film got the idea for this franchise. One thing I hate about this is that it's full of stupid people doing stupid fucking things, and they kind of deserve to be killed off. But I mean, like I said, in my opinion, this is one of the best in the franchise, and it's well worth the watch if you've never seen it. But if you're listening to this podcast, I can't imagine that you've never seen at least this first film. IMDb gave this a 6.1 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 40%, Letterboxd a 3.1 out of 5, and I give it a 3.8 out of, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Next up, we have 2007's Wrong Turn 2, Dead End.
Welcome to the apocalypse. Cut!
We shouldn't be here.
The film opens with the reality show contestant Kimberly driving through the West Virginia backcountry searching for the location of her next project. While driving, she accidentally hits a teenager, and when she stops to help him, he turns out to be an inbred cannibal who bites her lips off. She then attempts to escape but runs into Three Finger, who splits her in half with his axe before he and the cannibal brother drag her body halves away. Former U.S. Marine Colonel Dale Murphy is hosting a survival reality game show, The Apocalypse Ultimate Survivalist, in production at the West Virginia Forest. With Kimberly's unknown absence, the show's producer, Mara, reluctantly takes her place to participate in the show with the other contestants, lesbian Iraq veteran Amber, lingerie model Elena, former football player Jake, skateboarder Jonesy, and graphic artist Nina. As the game starts, Three Finger and another mutant cannibal, Pa, murder the television crew and abduct Dale. Mara finishes the task and then enters the cabin to find a telephone as Nina follows her. While looking around the cabin, they hear the occupants return and hide in the bedroom, and Mara and Nina witness a female cannibal, Ma, giving birth to a deformed baby. Her daughter's sister spots them in the bedroom and forces the two to escape through the toilet pit. They run into the woods, but Mara is hit in the head with a hatchet thrown by Pa. Nina searches for the others as the cannibals collect Mara's corpse, and at the lake, cinematographer M and Elena have sex before the former leaves and Elena stays a tan in her underwear. When she hears a noise, she starts to get dressed as sister emerges and slashes her to death with a machete, while Pa and Ma hijack the RV and capture M. Dale manages to escape and battles Three Finger, ending the fight after Dale shoots a cannibal into the lake with a shotgun. He then enters the mutant family's cabin and finds the old gas station attendant, who reveals how the cannibal's mutations were caused by inbreeding and affluent dumped into the river from an abandoned paper mill 30 years ago. The man, who was revealed to be the guardian of Three Finger and the two other inbred mountain men who have been killed, attacks Dale to avenge their deaths. After a brief skirmish, Dale manages to kill the old man by blowing him up with a stick of dynamite. Meanwhile, the three other contestants are eating some meat found by Amber and Jonesy when Nina returns to explain her story. They then realize that they have been eating Kimberly's leg and attempt to escape, but Nina separates from the group while they're fighting brother and sister, and Jake rescues Nina from a pit, and they jump into the river to escape sister. After Amber and Jonesy are killed while searching for help, Nina and Jake enter the mill and find a garage with vehicles stolen from prior victims. They find the RV, and Jake enters it, only to witness M being decapitated by Ma on a live feed monitor inside. Nina and Jake then attempt to leave, but the cannibals capture them, and the next day, while the two are held hostage, Dale sneaks into the compound to distract the cannibal family who were eating their dinner, and manages to kill brother and sister with a dynamite stick attached to an arrow. He then frees Nina and Jake, but is killed by Ma and Pa, who are incensed by the deaths of their children. Nina successfully escapes, but Jake wanders into a room fitted with the tree debarker, where he is attacked by Ma and Pa. Nina then returns to the mill and kills Ma and Pa with the debarker, and Nina and Jake find Kimberly's abandoned sports car and drive away. Meanwhile, Three Finger has survived and is seen raising the mutant family's baby, feeding it with a bottle of affluent and a human finger, and the movie ends. This first sequel is pretty much just a rehash of the first film, and if you're a fan of the first, then you should be pretty happy with the results from the second. However, while the dialogue in the first film wasn't all that great, it's even worse in this sequel. Even more so, actually. Though the thing that made Wrong Turn 1 worth watching was the hillbilly cannibals and all the gore. And like I said, there is some cool gore and makeup effects to be found in this sequel as well. I guess it's a perfect follow-up to the original, even though it's almost exactly the same. But however, the downsides of this far outweigh the good parts of the film as a whole. IMDb gave it a 5.4 out of 10. It didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd, a 2.7 out of 5. And I give it, I'll be generous and give it a 3 out of 5. Next up, we have 2009's Wrong Turn 3, Left 4 Dead.
Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. The traps are set.
Four college students, Alex, Brent, Sophie, and Trey, go to the West Virginia backcountry on a rafting trip. As they are camping by the riverside, the inbred cannibal Three Finger appears and murders all the teens except for Alex, who escapes after witnessing her friends' deaths. 2 days later, three prison guards, Nate Wilson, Walter, and Preslow, are assigned along with undercover prisoner and U.S. Marshal William Willie Juarez to oversee the transportation of Carlos Chavez, a leader of a crime organization, to a distant prison in Hazleton with three other prisoners: Floyd, a neo-Nazi serial killer, Crawford, a car thief, and Brandon, a former U.S. Marine. En route, they take the road to the abandoned paper mill through Greenbrier County when their bus tires are tangled in barbed wire from Three Fingers' truck and crashes into the woods, forcing them to continue on foot as Three Fingers attacks them from the distance and kills Preslow. Nate and Walter are now held hostage by the prisoners when they find Alex, who was hiding out in the woods from Three Finger and his nephew Three Toes. As they follow her, they find an abandoned armored truck containing bags of money, and Nate finds a gun in the truck and gives it to Walter, who uses it to shoot Chavez, but the weapon is not loaded, and the latter kills Walter in retaliation. Chavez then forces those left alive to carry the money and walk to the campsite so the criminals can use the rafts for their escape with the loot. Along the trail, they stumble upon a trap set by Three Toes that they are able to evade. Chavez and Floyd subdue a young cannibal and behead him, leaving a trophy on a spent booby trap for Three Finger to find as a deterrent. And then after Nate disrupts the prisoner's escape to the river, Chavez unwittingly releases a trap set by Three Finger that kills Willie. The prisoners then find Three Finger's truck, and when Crawford attempts to hijack the vehicle, he is lured into another trap by Three Finger, who ensnares him with a netting of razor wire and drives off, dragging him down the road. Local town sheriff Calvin Carver then discovers the crashed prison bus and contacts the U.S. Marshal team while he looks for Nate's group along with his deputy, Allie Lane. Nate and Alex, with Brandon's help by distracting Floyd to attack Chavez, attempts to escape, but the latter recaptures the two after beating down Floyd and leaving him behind. After they find the location where the watchtower once stood that was burned down years ago, Carver finds the group, but he is killed by Three Finger, and Chavez attempts to reclaim the money. Floyd takes the bags as Chavez chases him after him, only to see Three Finger lobbing a Molotov cocktail at Floyd, killing him and burning all the money. Now enraged at the mutant cannibal, Chavez tosses Alex to Three Finger to improve his chances of survival, and she is taken captive. Infuriating the others by his actions, Chavez is knocked unconscious by Brandon, allowing Nate to go back and rescue Alex. Chavez is then killed by Three Finger after the mutant overpowers him during their fight. Alex then awakens in Three Finger's cabin and sees Deputy Lane dying from a razor wire net. Nate then finds the cabin and frees Alex, but they are attacked by Three Finger as they escape. Three Finger then chases after them as they drive away in his tow truck, causing them to crash into a tree. As the truck is about to explode, Brandon appears and pulls Alex out. While Brandon helps Nate, Three Finger attacks them, but Nate manages to kill him by stabbing him in the head with his meat hook. After Nate releases Brandon in return for his help, the Marshal team arrives the next morning to rescue Nate and Alex. Sometime later, Nate returns to the forest to take the remaining money from the armored truck, But Brandon then appears and kills him. As he takes the money, an unknown cannibal then appears and kills Brandon in return, and the movie ends. This second sequel is where all started to go downhill for the franchise. The mutant hillbillies makeup in this might have been effective, but there's pretty poor lighting throughout the entire film, so you can't really tell. There was a lot of practical effects in all the other films, but with this one, they instead decided to go the CGI route, which would have been effective if someone with any skills had handled it and it didn't look like it was done by a retarded 5-year-old. I'm sorry if that fucking triggered somebody, but it's pretty much fucking true. You know, I don't know why horror movies do CGI horror, especially low-budget ones, because most of the time it pretty much fucking sucks and they should just stick to the practical effects. But unfortunately, this time they didn't. For whatever reason, this sequel misses its mark, probably because it was released direct to video, and the makers probably didn't figure it was worth putting any properly trained personnel into the project. Like I said, this is without a doubt one of the worst movies in the franchise, and it's a major step down from the previous two installments. If you ever wanted to show someone what a cheap wannabe attempt to rip off fans is, then this is the perfect film. And it's obviously just a fucking cash grab. IMDb gave this a 4.6 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 12%, Letterboxd a 2.5 out of 5, and I give it a 1 out of 5. And that leads us, dear listener, into the inevitable prequel, 2011's Wrong Turn 4, Bloody Beginnings.
These are the Hilliker brothers, definitely the most dangerous patients in the hospital.
They're just kids.
You guys are a bunch of slut monkeys.
Sorry, guys. I guess I got turned around.
What's that?
What is this place?
Hospital, maybe?
Well, looks like we're visiting for the night. Hey, I think I just saw somebody. Oh, my God. Sarah. Daniel, is that you?
Like I said earlier, with three films already under this franchise's belt, it was inevitable that there would be a prequel, which this is, and it's a prequel to the original Wrong Turn film. But it opens in 1974 at the Glenville Sanatorium in West Virginia, where Three Fingers, Sawtooth, and One Eye, known as the Hilliker Brothers, escape from their cells and release the other patients. Together, they cause a riot and brutally massacre the orderlies and doctors. We then fast forward 29 years later, in 2003, where nine Weston University students, Kenya, Jenna, Vincent, Sarah, Bridget, Kyle, Claire, Daniel, and Lauren, spend their winter break snowmobiling to their friend Porter's cabin in the mountains. However, they get lost in a snowstorm and are forced to take shelter in the Glenville Sanatorium for the night, where the Hillikers are living. Lauren remembers her brother's stories about the sanatorium and the cannibals, but her friends don't believe her. Of course. As the group goes to bed, Vincent continues to explore the asylum, where he finds Porter's corpse before Sawtooth kills him with a metal spike. The next day, with the storm still in full effect, the teens remain trapped. Jenna comes across the Hillikers butchering Porter's body in the kitchen and runs back to warn the others. After Porter's severed head is thrown at the group, Claire is hanged from a balcony with barbed wire by the trio and then decapitated. The group then attempts to flee the building, but their snowmobile spark plugs have been taken out. Lauren skis down the mountain to seek help while the others barricade themselves in the doctor's office. Kyle, Daniel, and Sarah go into the basement to get weapons, but Daniel gets abducted, tied to a table in the kitchen, and slowly butchered and eaten alive. The rest of the group chases the cannibals and locks them in a cell as Kyle stays behind to watch the brothers while the others search for the spark plug wires. When Kyle falls asleep, the brothers escape their cell, and the girls accidentally stab Kyle to death after mistaking him for one of the Hillikers. The brothers then appear and chase the girls through the building, forcing them to exit through a window, but Jenna is killed before she can escape. The remaining girls are then ambushed by the cannibals, who use the group's snowmobiles to chase them outside, and this is where Kenya gets injured, and One Eye kills Bridget. As a new day dawns, Lauren has frozen to death not far from a highway. Kenya is still being chased by One Eye when Sarah reappears and knocks the cannibal off the snowmobile, allowing the pair to steal it and escape. They then drive into a razor wire trap set up by the cannibals, which decapitates both of them. Three Fingers then picks up their heads and puts them in their tow truck before moving away from the sanatorium with his brothers, and the movie ends. For bringing a prequel, this one is pretty fucking unoriginal. I mean, a horror movie set in a mental asylum. Like, we've never fucking seen this done before. It's pretty much just a cash grab once again. And it's kind of unrelated to all the other movies in the franchise that have come before it. You know, except for Three Finger and his brothers. I mean, other than that, it's completely unrelated to anything else that has gone on. Which, I mean, I guess it makes sense because this is a fucking prequel. So if you're coming into this looking for the story to continue from before, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Though it is better than the third one. And this also strongly supports my theory that Hollywood is officially out of fucking ideas, especially at this point in time. And in my opinion, this is a prequel that really wasn't fucking needed. IMDb gave it a 4.5 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes at 43%, Letterboxd a 3.5 out of 5, and I give it a 1.9 out of 5. And that leads us into 2012's Wrong Turn 5, Bloodline.
Offends you, then you're in the wrong fucking
in my house now.
Theater, face your fear and dare to own the most gruesome wrong turn ever. Wrong Turn 5 on Blu-ray.
Now, this one is a little confusing because it serves as a sequel to part 4. But it's also still a prequel to the very first film, so this makes two prequels in one franchise. But anyway, in the city of Fairlake, Greenbrier County in West Virginia, the Hillikers, Three Finger, Sawtooth, and One Eye start a murderous rampage with the help of serial killer Maynard Odets, where they first murder news reporter Kayleen Weber. Meanwhile, five friends, Billy, his girlfriend Cruz, Lita, her boyfriend Gus, and Julian are going to Fairlake to celebrate the Mountain Man Music Festival. Mountain Man Music Festival for Halloween. Along the way, they almost run over Maynard, who attacks them. Billy, Gus, and Julian attack him out of self-defense, but are all apprehended along with Lita and Cruz by Town Sheriff Angela Carter and her deputy partner Kevin Biggs. While Cutter leaves to take them to the police station, the cannibals appear and kill Biggs. Locked up in the police station, Billy convinces Carter to release his friends as he owns his drugs, and they left as he remained in his cell. The cannibals then use their truck to pull down a foam pole, taking out the service through the town. They then proceed to the power plant, killing the guard and shutting down the town's electricity. While most of the townspeople attend the festival, the teens register at a motel to stay while waiting for their friend to be released by his family's lawyer. Three Finger then chases Cruz and kills her on her way to visit Billy. After Jillian leaves the motel to head back to the police station, Gus is abducted by the cannibals while One Eyes attempts to capture Lita, but she manages to escape. Kyra then sees the cannibals drop Gus, who had his leg crippled. She attempts to save him, but the cannibals run him over with their pickup truck, killing him. Kyra then frees Billy and gives him, Jillian, and prisoner Moe's shotguns to guard the station. She sneaks into an appliance store to communicate with radio jockey Teddy, asking him to call for backup, but he rudely dismisses her message as a joke. After Lita reaches the police station, Billy and Jillian leave to search for Cruz despite Carter's objections, and they wander the streets and find Cruz's dead body. While trying to get the body back to the station, they encounter the cannibals, who capture them and place them on a football field, where Three Fingers kills both with a snowblower. Cutter then sends Moe's to search for the deputies, but he unknowingly runs over a barbed wire in the road and crashes. He then awakens to find himself captured by the cannibals, who burn him alive. After hearing Moe's scream over the radio, Cutter exits the station as Lita unwittingly releases Maynard, who stabs her eyes out. Cutter then finds her husband, Jason, bound in the car and tries to help him, but a sickle tied to the door guts his body as Three Finger fights the sheriff before overpowering and capturing her. Kyra then awakens in a jail cell with her hands tied to the ceiling. Maynard gives her the option of dying by fire or from a shotgun with the trigger near her feet. Kyra eventually triggers the shotgun, killing herself as the cell burns down. And then Lita, unable to see, is captured by Maynard and the cannibals before being driven away into the woods screaming. And the movie ends. How the fuck a franchise that started out as exciting and riveting jumped down to crass and fucking predictable in just four sequels is fucking beyond me. This fifth installment is basically a copy of the third one with a similar setup and about just as forgettable cast of characters. It unevenly tries to maintain a balance between slasher, backwoods, and gore, but has none of the jump out of your seat thrills of the former and dispatches the second midway through the movie. So what we're left with is gore for the sake of gore, and plenty of it in a mean and pretty fucking disgusting way. You know, the kills in the Wrong Turn franchise started out as inventive and bloody, but now they're just really meant to make you fucking sick. And like I said, you know, gore is fine, but gore just for the sake of gore is it's meaningless. It's pointless. It doesn't add anything to the film. It's just there to be there. It doesn't fucking need to be. And that's the case with this fucking movie. And like I said, this is a sequel to the prequel, and it makes it the second prequel in this fucking franchise. So obviously the steam had run out for this franchise after the third film, and they should have ended it at that. Also, Doug Bradley is in this, and I really don't fucking know why. Maybe he just needed a fucking paycheck because he wasn't playing Pinhead at this point anymore, I believe. And that's really the only reason I can think of him fucking putting his name to this fucking piece of shit. But then again, ever since he got done playing Pinhead, Bradley has appeared in some pretty fucking shitty movies before, or since then. So, like I said, I guess this was just for a paycheck. IMDb gave this a 4.1 out of 10. Didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd a 2 out of 5. And I give it a 1.5 out of 5. And that brings us to the final film in the original franchise's cycle, if that's what you want to call it, I guess. 2014's Wrong Turn 6, Last Resort.
Thank you.
to make things even more fucking confusing with this franchise, with the last two movies being prequels, this is basically a soft reboot of the first film. It opens with the Hilliker brothers, Three Finger, Sawtooth, and One Eye murdering a pair of bikers, Daria and Nick, at the bike trail in West Virginia. The brothers are under the care of their demented relatives, Jackson and Sally, the caretakers of the local medieval hotel resort, Hobbs Springs. Danny attends a resort for a family inheritance along with his girlfriend, Tony, her brother, Rod, and their friends, Vic, Charlie, Brian, and his girlfriend, Jillian. Upon arrival, he is welcomed by Sally and Jackson, his cousins, but unbeknownst to his friends, the cannibals and Jackson murdered elderly hotel guest Agnes Fields in the hallway. Brian and Jillian, who are shopping for groceries the next day, are informed by concerned Sheriff Doucette of the disappearances of the townsfolk, including the hotel guest and Agnes. As he drives away, Doucette runs into a roadblock where he is killed by Three Finger. Alarmed by Brian and Jillian's news of the townsfolk's fate, Danny's friends become suspicious of the nature of his cousins and his interest of staying with his family, causing his relationship with the others to deteriorate. Jesus Christ. Tony then sends Vic to find Danny, who has gone hunting with Jackson out in the woods. Vic sees Sawtooth devouring a deer that was killed by Danny during the hunt, and when Danny plans on renovating the hotel to reopen next year, his friends reluctantly agree to stay. Jillian and Brian, however, plan to leave the town and steal items from the hotel for money. While doing so, they discover a hidden door to the basement that leads to an underground bathhouse, where Jillian gets horny and seduces Brian into having sex with her. Right after Brian makes Jillian come midway through, the cannibals abruptly attack the couple, and Brian is hit in the head, giving him a crippling brain injury, and Jillian is brutally dismembered without Brian to protect her, but Sally stops him from killing Brian. She then drags him to her bedroom and rapes him. Next, she asphyxiates him with her pillow under Jackson's orders. Now turning against his friends during a heated argument with Tony, Danny is introduced by Jackson and Sally to his long-lost cannibalistic relatives at the clearing. They explain to Danny, who is a Hilliker, of their origins, and Vic follows them and overhears their conversation. He is then captured by the Hillikers, who cut his throat and tear his innards out for the whole clan to eat for the ceremony. And as the rest of the group begin to leave the next morning, Tony, Rod, and Charlie discover Jackson cooking meals in the kitchen with dismembered corpses of the victims, including Brian and Jillian. Horrified, they attempt to escape, only to run into the cannibals who kill both Charlie and Rod. Tony then arms herself with the rifle from the armory and enters the bathhouse to confront Sally about manipulating Danny against his friends. And as they fight, Tony disfigures Sally and shoots off her leg with the rifle. Enraged, Jackson orders Danny to kill Tony, but he lets her escape. And Jackson pursues her until Tony retaliates by stabbing him in the head with the door keys, killing him. The cannibals then surround Tony as Danny leaves her to be killed by Three Finger. Then, 1 year after the reopening of the resort, renamed as Hilliker Springs, Danny becomes a new manager and continues the sordid family tradition by having sex with Sally at the bathhouse, as all the other Hillikers fucking watch. Wrong Turn 6 is a really bad movie on so many levels that it's almost hard to believe that it could be worse than the third film. There are so many awful and annoying things about this movie, it's a wonder that this here simply doesn't end the series. But then again, when did quality ever determine how many sequels a series gets, and when did the filmmakers ever fucking care about any of that shit? It's clear that the filmmakers just wanted to take the series into a new direction, but the idea behind this film is just as awful as the ideas behind The Curse of Michael Myers. And the CGI effects, just like in the third film, are fucking terrible, and the kills aren't anywhere near as creative as they are in all the other films before this as well. And it kind of goes into overdrive when it comes to the nudity, which really isn't a fucking problem. But once again, just like with gore, once it's overdone, it just doesn't add anything to the movie and it just becomes a fucking annoyance. IMDb gave this a 4.1 out of 10. Once again, it didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd gave it a 2.5 out of 5, and I give it a fucking 0 out of 5. And that brings us to the final film of this episode, the 2021 reboot of Wrong Turn.
Do you know what we wouldn't have found? we would have stayed on the trail. The waterfall. The cliff. What is that? People know but don't talk about. Except in whispers, like a ghost story.
Sweet land of liberty.
We don't bother them. And they don't bother us.
Of the icing.
But anyone who goes up there, what is this place? They don't come back. It's happened before.
Descendants of these people are still living up there on the mountain.
They said they would be the foundation on which a new nation would be built.
The film opens with Jen Shah, her boyfriend Darius, and couples Adam and Mila, and Gary and Lewis arriving in a small town in rural Virginia to take the Appalachian Trail. They encounter hostility from locals in the bar, especially from Nate. Jen also meets a strange woman called Edith who has a young mute girl named Ruthie. They begin their hiking despite warnings go off the trail to find an old fort. A huge tree trunk rolls downhill and fatally crushes Gary. Bruised, disoriented, and lost, the group sets up camp for the night. The following day, Mila goes missing, as well as their cell phones. They find a plaque dated 1859, commemorating the creation of a group of settlers in the mountains called the Foundation, who believed the end of the United States was near. While looking for Mila, Adam triggers a trap and is dragged into a pit. Jen, Darius, and Lewis come across a barn full of backpacks and clothing, then see Adam trussed to a pole carried between two men wearing strange costumes and animal skull masks. The friends then confront the men, who talk in a language they can't understand. Adam breaks free and maniacally beats one of them to death while the other escapes. Mila then appears, having earlier gone for a bathroom break and evaded the two men. The friends then encounter other traps and are surrounded by more masked men. Mila falls into a pit and is impaled on stakes, and she is killed with an arrow by a member of the Foundation. Jen, Adam, Darius, and Lewis are then all captured. The group is then taken to a primitive settlement deep in the forest, the headquarters of the Foundation, and put before a court. Edith is one of their captors. Morgan, the brother of the man Adam killed, testifies how Adam murdered his brother Samuel. The group is then charged with murder. The leader, Venable, sentences Adam to death. The others are then sentenced to darkness, and Adam breaks free and holds Ruthie hostage, demanding the release of his friends. Ruthie uses a concealed blade to stab Adam in the leg, and he is then executed in front of his friends by Venable, who beats him to death using the lock he used to kill Samuel. Lewis then tries to run away, and Venable blinds him with a hot poker. That Jen then begs Venable for mercy. Venable agrees, and she and Darius are initiated into the community, and Jen reluctantly becomes Venable's sexual partner. 6 weeks later, Scott Shaw, Jen's father, arrives in the town to search for his daughter. He pays a local tracker to take him through the forest, and after a trap kills the tracker and his son, Scott finds a settlement, but it's captured. Jen, now married to Venable, shoots her father with an arrow, and Venable sentences Scott to darkness for trespassing and imprisons him. That night, Jen releases her father, revealing she only shot him so as not to raise suspicion. She then tries to get Darius to run away with her and Scott, but he refuses to leave. Ruthie helps them escape before Venable and the other cultists pursue them. They discover an underground chamber full of blinded and shambling prisoners, including Lewis. Jen Mercy kills him and then flees with Scott, killing several cultists, including Edith. They encounter Nate and other armed townsmen who offer to help, and the cultists attack them, wounding Jen, but Scott and Jen escape together. Several months later, Jen and her father have returned to their normal lives. Jen visits her stepmother, but finds her in the process of welcoming Venable and Ruthie to the neighborhood. Jen then confronts Venable, who notices that she is pregnant with his child. He asks Jen to return with him to the Foundation, and Jen agrees on the condition that Venable never again interferes with her family. She, Venable, and Ruthie leave, driving away in an RV, and as the end credits roll, Jen causes the RV to crash into a parked car. Jen then stabs Venable to death and kills the other cultists, as well as the RV driver. She then takes Ruthie's hand as they walk back towards her family home, and the movie ends. This reboot might as well just have been called The Foundation, because it has absolutely no connection to any of the previous Wrong Turn movies, or even the original Wrong Turn movie. It's pretty much a completely different fucking story. Which is weird, because the guy that wrote the original Wrong Turn also wrote this. And the biggest problem I have with this movie is the good guys. They come across as fucking terrible fucking people. When you first meet them, they irritate you, and they do it in the same vapid way people, you know, that of people that think they're better than everybody. And that attitude pretty much carries over into their interaction with the locals, who they insult and belittle in a way that is framed to almost side with the protagonist. So when the killing starts, they have annoyed you to the point that you want them to lose, and you really don't give a shit, and you want to see the backwoods cannibals eat them, just so you don't have to hear them drone on and on, and with their fucking bullshit hipster fucking language. And there is absolutely no suspense in this. And you know that they aren't going to make it out alive, because the filmmakers spent so much time in this movie fucking irritating you with the fucking characters that you know that there's no way that they're going to fucking survive. So like I said, there's no fucking suspense at all. It's just a fucking mess of a movie, just like the last four films in this franchise was. And it, like I said, they should have just stopped making this franchise after the third one. There shouldn't have been another four fucking movies after it, and this movie just fucking proves it. Instead of being called Wrong Turn, this just should have been called Wrong Decision. IMDb gave this a 5.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, for some fucking reason, a 65%. Letterboxd, a 3 out of 5, and I give it a 1 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for this episode. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.